So now if you see the fans and you say, well, that makes it colder, actually what it's doing is rotating the air up. It's not blowing it down. We can reverse it. So it's bringing it down and around, and hopefully it's doing the job. So praise God. Amen. Well, why don't we take time here to pray as we begin this message this morning. Father God, I want to thank you for what you've laid on my heart. I pray, Father, that it would come forth in demonstration of your Spirit and power, that it would minister to each and every person in the way that it needs to, and that you would help us to grow and mature, Lord, all of us, including myself, as we partake of your word in the Spirit. Thank you for speaking to me and through me and to each and every one of us, so that, Lord, we become more and more Christ-like as the days unfold. We give you thanks and praise for what you're doing today and beyond, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, family, we had a really neat service last week, had a time of testimony. I really enjoyed people sharing their testimonies. It encouraged me. I hope it encouraged everybody else here as well. And like I said, there's discs available in the back if you would like to hear them again. We've come to the end of year 2017, and here we are. We're starting 2018, and I hope it's exciting for you. I hope you're believing for the best, and that God has good things for you. That's what will stir you on more than anything. You don't have to say, well, it's the same old, or you know, nothing's, you know, it's the same day, or just another year. No. There's new things that God has planned for you and great things ahead. Amen. And just believe that. Believe for good things, because God does have good things for you. He always does. Amen. We know how this past year went. We're not sure what 2018 will bring to us, but it's coming, and things are happening already. I'm sure each of us have had some challenges and some triumphs this past year. And that's typical for people. But we're here by the grace of God. We're here because of the grace of God. And I'm reminded of this particular verse here in Hebrews 13:5, the latter part of it. And it says this, that I, that is the Lord, will never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. Amen. God doesn't do that. He never leaves us nor forsakes. Imagine being with us, you know, all the time. We can't get, dignitaries and leaders of countries to hang out with us 24/7, but we got the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, hanging out with us 24/7, 365, all the time. Amen? He thinks more about us than we probably think about ourselves. He'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. Amen. Glory to God. You know, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He never will. And there might be moments in your life where you felt like he had, but the fact is that he has not. The word tells us this, that the just who are believers do not live by their thoughts. They don't live by their emotions. They don't live by their feelings. What they live by, according to the word of God, is faith. We're to live by faith. I kind of hinted to that during the offertory this morning. It says in Hebrews 10:38a, the just shall live by faith. That is, they live by what the word is telling them to do and to say and to think. Amen? That's where our peace, our confidence, and our guidance comes from, by living by faith, living by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? The just are to rely on the unchanging word of God. It doesn't change. Amen. It stays the same. It's the same with God. He never changes as well. And that's why we can rely on it. We can depend on it, because it is unchanging. Amen. Emotions, feelings, they vacillate all the time, but the word never changes. And that's what we need to lean on. Hallelujah. And I can't emphasize that enough. The just shall live by faith. Glory to God. Well, sometimes what happens is people will gravitate and move over into, you know, the circumstances. They get all caught up in what's going on around them in their lives. And God doesn't want us to be, you know, wishy-washy people, you know, that are so caught up in the circumstances that the Word of God doesn't have an effect on us. Amen? The Word of God needs to be down in our heart so strongly that that's what we're living by. Amen? We're trusting in the Word. We're not trusting in our circumstances. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The just shall live by faith. Amen. You know, Psalms 84:11 says this, "For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." Amen. Think about that in 2018. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's exciting. God's not going to, he's not interested in withholding from you. He's interested in blessing you. Amen. I think that people need to understand that God wants to bless us more than we really realize. It's the truth. Amen. He wants to bless us tremendously. Lord, we just had a conversation with Brian Wills. Brian Wills is a guest speaker, comes here annually. He happened to be traveling from Buffalo down to home, and he stopped in on Friday. Mary and I had breakfast with him, and just some of the things he was talking about just was mind-boggling. And I'll just give you a little, just a real touch of it. He was talking about he met an individual, an archaeologist, a world-renowned archaeologist. He's going to have an influence over in Egypt, you know, in the coming years here. But anyways, I'm talking about Brian and this gentleman. But anyways, this archaeologist was with Brian over there, and he was talking about Joseph. Joseph, the coat of many colors, you know, he became second in command of Pharaoh. And when we read the Word of God, we see the we see what's said on the pages of the book, the Bible, but sometimes it doesn't all come to light because there's a lot of information that's not put down on scriptures, details, okay? It's spoken in generalities. And he was talking about this. Archaeologist was showing Brian just, you know, when Joseph was in command or second in command there, he spoke to Pharaoh about his dream that there was going to be 7 years of prosperity and 7 years of lack. And so Pharaoh put Joseph in command, you know, to take care of that situation, to make sure that people didn't starve in those 7 years of lack. And some of the things that Brian was telling us that this archaeologist had discovered were just mind-boggling. You know, that Joseph built, supposedly, and he actually took him to a place, there was a building, it was like 12 stories high, and there was an elevator, you know, a pulley system. And they put this corn and whatever, you know, needed to be put in there. And he was looking at this humongous building. I'm not sure the size of the building. It was very large. He said to Brian, "How many do you think he made of these?" He said, I don't know. I'm not sure. He said, 400 of these. And then he went on to talk about silos. And the size of these things is mind-boggling. And then he went on to talk about a building that was of like, you really have to have faith what this guy is saying is true, but he said it's like 8 miles wide and 58 miles long. And I'm thinking, how do you put a roof over something like that? And then I got to think, well, maybe you put it sectionally, I guess. I don't know. But the storage, you know, and this is something else that he talked about with Joseph. He said that, and I thought, you know, crops would come in every year, you know, about the same every year because of the, the size of the field. But he said every year was exponentially like 3 times the year before. Yeah. And, you know, that's the way God is. That's the way God blesses, okay? So it was like, and it says in the Word of God that Joseph was unable to keep record. There was so much that came in, he was unable to keep record of it all. So what I'm trying to say here is this, that our God is a God of abundance. You know, and God wants to bless you abundantly. Don't be afraid to receive of his abundance. You know, just have a right heart, a thankful heart. Amen. And use his abundance to be a blessing to yourself and to others. Amen. Have a right heart. Think of heaven. We're going to be going to heaven one day, and you know, and I'll tell you what, it's not a, you know, you're not going to live in a shack. you're going to live in a beautiful mansion, and it's just what you prefer. It's your taste. Amen. It's going to be beautiful. Amen. So believe in the God of abundance. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Amen. Let's be thankful, people who are thankful to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's no matter what circumstances we might find ourselves in, be thankful to the Lord. You know, and I'm not saying to give God thanks for anything and everything, because not everything is from God. Amen. But we can give God thanks in everything. Amen. Not for everything, but in everything. The Word of God says here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, not for everything, but in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. So, praise God. As we give thanks, I believe God enters that situation and he can turn things around. Amen. No matter what you're going through, in everything, whether it's good or not so good, give thanks. Hallelujah. Here we are in 2018. Here's kind of where my message is going today in a nutshell. I'm reminded that the just live by faith and that we ought to be a people yielded to the voice and words and commands of God. Amen. This entire year and beyond, we need to be yielded to the voice, the words, the commands of God Almighty. Amen. And there's good reason for that. And I'm going to share some of those with you today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says this, "For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We belong to God. We do. We don't own our lives. We have a free will. Yes, we can make choices, but God really does own us. He bled, he died on that cross to purchase us. Amen? To bring us into his kingdom. We were bought with a price. I think we owe it to God to submit to him and to agree with him. His spoken word, his written word, we owe it to God to obey his voice. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We recently celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen? And we reflected on that. And it's good to remind us how God the Father sent a Savior into the world to redeem mankind. Amen, from our sins. We were all hopelessly lost, heading in the wrong direction. But Jesus came at the right time, amen, grew, became a man, suffered and died on the cross to deliver us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. God sent a Savior. But he not only sent a Savior, he sent a king. He sent a king into the world too. We know the wise men came and they said, "Where is he? He was born King of the Jews." They didn't say anything about a Savior, but they did say, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews?" And so we need to recognize him as the King as well as Savior. And I think, you know, now that if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we need to be thinking a little bit more about what it is to have him as our King and how what that relationship should be like as our King, amen, and not just our Savior. Hallelujah. Jesus is the King of the Jews. And the King of the Jews, family, we know, are those who have been circumcised of heart. Amen? It's not just being born a natural Jew, but being born into the kingdom of God, receiving the blood of Jesus, amen, being washed in his blood, being circumcised of heart, being changed in our heart. You remember how you were changed in your heart? I remember how I was changing my heart, and I'll tell you what a drastic difference it was for me. Oh, my goodness. I'll bet everybody could testify to that. Amen. Now, some of you have grown up in the Christian homes and may not have seen the drastic changes, but God does make a change, doesn't he? Amen. Oh, man. It's beautiful. It's beautiful what the Lord does. Glory to God. Listen to some of these verses that I want to share with you about the nature of kings. Amen. Jesus is our king. Listen to these things about the nature of kings. Proverbs 30:29 says, "There are three things which are majestic in pace, yes, four, which are stately in walk." Majestic in pace, stately in walk. What does that mean? Having kind of a dignified manner or grand manner, elegance, a noble and impressive appearance. God has that. God has that kind of an appearance. He's grand. Amen. Hallelujah. We even see some scriptures that talk about the descriptions of Jesus, and he is certainly noble and grand. Amen. Proverbs 30:29 says, again, there are three things which are, paraphrasing it now, using some other words here. There are three things which are elegant. Yes, four which are impressive. Impressive. That's our God. Amen. The fourth thing is mentioned in Proverbs 30:31c, and it says this, a king whose troops are with him. A king whose troops are with him. Amen. Not just near him, but with him in their heart. Amen. That's an impressive king. Amen. John Wesley commented on this by saying this, this is a king who has the hearts and hands of his people going along with him in his undertakings. That's a pretty good definition. Amen. Another commentary put it this way, a king when he reigns in the hearts of his people. That's a king that has, you know, his people with him. Amen. Proverbs 14:28 says, in the multitude of people is a king's honor, but in the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Family, there have been kings, multitudes of kings that have had people following them throughout the centuries. We read about these stories. Alexander the Great, okay? Genghis Khan, Nebuchadnezzar. We read about him in the Bible. Amen. There have been great leaders throughout history, but there hasn't been any leader like God, like Jesus Christ. None compare to him. Amen. I think what makes leaders great is, again, their ability to hold the hearts and the minds of people who went along with their ventures. Just like the scriptures said, you know, they follow their undertakings. Amen. And again, there have never been any leader in the past or in the future or in the present that's been like Jesus Christ. He's the greatest king of all. It's the most unique of all. Amen. He's won more hearts and he's made more hearts one. Amen. Than anyone else. And they'll be his followers for all eternity. You know? I bet we could all raise our hands and say, yes, we're going to follow you throughout all eternity. Amen. Isn't it interesting how united God makes us? You know, we're so uniquely different. Our personalities are, and we have different likes and tastes. We come from different backgrounds. But he does something to all of our hearts that's more unique than any leader that's ever walked the face of this earth or ever will. He makes our hearts one with him and with one another. Amen. We're family. Hallelujah. He makes us unified. Glory to God. And it doesn't matter what church we're in, you know, it's the same God that unites us all. Glory to God. Listen to these words here that describe a king or a godly king or, you know, someone on the earth, you know, a small k king or Jesus as well. It says here in Psalm 68:24, they have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. They have seen your procession. Some have felt that this verse refers to when David took the Ark of the Covenant from Obed-Edom, okay, and moved that Ark from there into the sanctuary. You know, all eyes were set on it. All Israel was watching as they moved this particular, the Ark of the Covenant. It says this in verse following, verse 24. In Psalm 68:25, it says, the singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the maidens playing timbrels. So this is an exact description of David moving that ark from Obed-Edom to the sanctuary. But the reason they said, we have seen your procession, O God, is that ark represented God's presence. Amen. And so by watching that ark, they were watching God in a sense. amen, through that ark, amen. But the main point here is, I want to point out, is just how great and how splendor our God is, amen, in all his doings, hallelujah, hallelujah. All Israel set their hearts on that ark, and their eyes as well, which is a symbol of God's presence. Psalms 29:10 says this: the Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. You know, the flood, Noah's flood, you know, filled the whole earth, as far as we know, filled the entire globe. But it didn't move God. He was still on his throne, you know, just watching what was going on, very calmly, seeing all this mass chaos taking place. But he sat enthroned. Amen. His judgments don't move him, you know, and he's just a powerful God. Amen. He still presides as king and judge, even to this day, over the entire earth. Amen. He reigns at all times. Psalm 99:4 says, the king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. What are we looking at? We're looking at the character here. Amen. We're looking at the character of a godly king. Amen. A godly king loves justice. They establish equity. They execute justice and righteousness. Amen. When our God exercises his great power, he doesn't forsake justice. He doesn't forsake righteousness. Amen. That still goes along with everything that he does. Amen. Hallelujah. Everything, equity, justice, righteousness, it all goes right along with God. When he moves in his great power, glory to God. He doesn't do anything in iniquity. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of us know that power without fairness is really tyranny? It is. And we've seen that. We've seen that in the world. We've seen that throughout history. Power without fairness is tyranny. And that's why God's throne is everlasting, because he's not like that. He's not a tyrannist, amen? He is a God who is equitable. He's just. He's righteous all the time, amen? He is truly what a king ought to be. Glory to God. Proverbs 20, verse 8 says, a king who sits on the throne of judgment scatters all evil with his eyes. And Proverbs 25:5 says, take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. A righteous king hates evil. Amen? That's our God. He hates evil and the effects of evil. I'm glad we serve a God like that, who doesn't like, you know, things that are wrong, evil things. I'm so glad he's like that. He's a good God. He rids his kingdom of evil. Amen? His kingdom is pure. And that's why, you know, it says in the Word, you know, corruption cannot inherit incorruption, because where we're headed, we can't be people who have sin in our lives. We've got to be cleaned up. That's God's kingdom. It's a kingdom of righteousness, you know, through and through. Hallelujah. He rids his kingdom of evil. His kingdom is fixed. It's unchanging. It's established. That's our God. Proverbs 20, verse 28 says this: mercy and truth preserve the king. By loving kindness, he upholds his throne. I love these descriptions of our king, you know, because we need to know, we need to understand what God is like. He's merciful. He's truthful. Amen. He exercises loving kindness. Amen. He's just not a king in power. You know, he's unfeeling towards his people. You know, I'm sure there have been people like that. They enjoyed the power, but they didn't care one lick about the people they were serving or overseeing or have power over. Amen. That's not our God.
That's right.
He cares through and through for each and every individual. Amen. Hallelujah. I think if it weren't for God's mercy, none of us would be here today. We'd be in a sorry state, amen? But his mercy and his truth has affected our lives. Amen. And I believe that's one of the reasons it secures us, secures his kingdom, and it causes us to love and respect him. Amen. I love and respect him because he is respectful. He's kind. He's merciful. He's a good God. Amen. That's why his kingdom will reign forever. That's why he'll be king forever and ever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. So what we're doing here is we're taking a look at the character of a king. Capital King, capital K, small k. Amen. We're taking a look at the character. Proverbs 29:4 says, "The king establishes the land by justice, but he who receives bribes overthrows it." He can't be bribed. Amen. He cannot be bribed. Remember when Jesus was tempted after fasting 40 days and 40 nights by the devil? He tried to bribe him. He said, "Listen, you bow down, you kneel to me, I'm going to give you all these kingdoms." He might have done that, but there'd have been a twist to it. You know, it would not have been a good situation. Jesus didn't yield to that bribe. Amen. And a righteous king will not do that. They will not yield to bribes. They won't do something they shouldn't be doing. Amen. Proverbs 29:14 says, "The king who judges the poor with truth, his throne will be established forever." Hallelujah. God's not affected by one's wealth nor his poverty. He's still the same God to one person as he is to another. He doesn't look at a person and say, "Well, you know, you're not as important or you're not as special because, you know, you don't have this or that." Everyone is as precious as the next person. Amen? He died for all. Glory to God. Amen. His justice is based solely on truth. On truth. Amen? Hallelujah. So he isn't influenced one way or another by wealth. He is not impartial. I like that about God. Hallelujah. And I think that's what one reason he remains in authority at all times is he's not impartial. Amen. You can't find anything wrong with him. Amen. He's always good. Hallelujah. So because of Jesus' character, which are these things, he's grand. He loves justice. He's equitable. He's righteous. He hates evil. He's unchanging. He's merciful. He's truthful. He exercises loving kindness. He can't be bribed. He's fair to all. And therefore, he is worthy to be capital K, capital I, capital N, capital K, G, King. Amen. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He's worthy of that position. Psalms 95:3 says, "For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods." Psalms 47:2 says, "For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great King over all the earth." Hallelujah. It's an established fact. He is the great King, as the word says. And he's proven himself to be a great King because of his character. Glory to God. What does it mean to be a great King? Great means he is old. He is older. He's been around for all eternity. Okay? He is mighty and he is limitless. He's noble. He's upright, virtuous, good, moral, ethical, and unselfish. That's our God. That's our King. Amen. Hallelujah. So family, it brings us to this point here. If he is the great King, and he is, it behooves us to listen to his voice. To listen to his voice here in 2018 and beyond. Amen. Not that we shouldn't have listened to his voice in the past, but we need to exercise ourselves, our will, to do the will of him, do the will of the Father, and do the will of his Son, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's make it a point to be as true to the word of God as we possibly can. Amen. He has spoken his word, his will, as a king in the Bible. Amen. And we can hear his voice through the Holy Spirit as well. Amen. Behooves us to listen to the voice of God. Psalms 55, verse 2 says this. Psalms 5, 2 says, "Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray." Amen. I will pray. Amen. I will pray. What does that mean? We lift up to God our concerns, our needs, our desires, because He is the King who listens and is concerned for our welfare. Amen. Everything that we are concerned about, God's concerned about. And we need to take it to Him. The Word says, what we have not because we ask not. We need to ask. Amen. He doesn't say, He won't push us away and say, would you just stop asking me? I'm kind of tired of you coming to me all the time. You'll never find that with God. I don't see that in the Word at all. I can't find it anywhere. He always says, you know, come to me. You are heavy, who are burdened, heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. Amen. I'll take care of your needs. But we got to come to Him. We got to make that a practice, going to Him. Amen. One of the commands of our King is to pray, to seek His face. Amen. Hallelujah. What other commands are we given by the King of Kings? Psalms 47:6 says, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. How many times does that say sing praises in that verse? I think there's four in there, isn't it? Boy, that's kind of emphasizing something, isn't it? Sing praises. You may not have the best voice in the world. God doesn't mind. Sing praises to Him. Amen. Might be in your car by yourself. Might be in your room. Might be walking around the house. Amen. Sing praises. Some people do it as they're shopping. That's okay. Amen. Sing praises to our King. Hallelujah. Amen. Four times it's emphasized because that's how due He is of our praises. Amen. He's due. The King of Kings is due our praises. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. He's allowed us, family, as you can see here, to be our King. That's a privilege. That's a blessing that he has become our King. Wow. We are a blessed people. The next verse says here, verse 7 says, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. In other words, praise Him with understanding as well. Hallelujah. There isn't just to be praise, but we're to praise Him with understanding. We're to know what we're saying, why we're saying, to whom we're saying what we're saying or singing. Amen? Hallelujah. Know why and whom we are expressing our praise. He's just not another ordinary king. Amen? He is the King of all the earth, the verse is telling us here. Hallelujah. And there's a difference between going through the emotions of singing and actually singing with insight into who our King is. Amen? Hallelujah. And we can sing from the heart, I understand that, without giving voice, but I believe He wants us to give voice too. That's why He gives us lips and tongue and the ability to sing, actually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are to consider how great our King is. You know the Ten Commandments? I don't know if you can list them all off, but one of the commandments is this, and it's out of Exodus 27. It says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Hallelujah. This commandment, family, forbids all light and irrelevant or irreverent mention to God. Mention of God. Amen. It forbids all light and irreverent mention of God or any of His attributes. So when we're singing praises to God, we ought to be thinking about those attributes, the things that we're singing about. Amen. Not taking His name in vain as we sing to Him praises. Amen. Don't take God's name in vain. Even in prayer, we need to take His name seriously. It's a powerful name. He's given us that legal right to use His name. Amen. To ask Him for things. Glory to God. Not to take that in vain, to think, well, you know, yeah, I prayed in Jesus' name, but maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. You know, no, that's taken in vain. Amen. Let's understand who we're talking to, who we're asking, and the name we're using. It's a precious name. It's a powerful name. Psalm 74:12 says this, For God is my King from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Glory to God. He's working salvation in the midst of the earth. Even right now, we heard a word this morning about how God wants us to understand that we are a light in this world. Amen? And he wants us to draw close, that our hearts would melt, that our hearts would be so on fire that we would melt other people's hearts as well. Amen? We're participating with the King of Kings in this word here, working salvation in the midst of the earth. We are united with him. We're to be cooperative with him and the Holy Spirit, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Glory to God. Another story Brian told us this past Friday was, he was up in Buffalo. And I hope he doesn't mind me telling some of these things. He might want to share them. But anyways, he was up there, and he met with a gentleman, a brother in Christ from Bangladesh. And this individual has a very well-respected name, I guess, in the Muslim community over in Bangladesh. And his parents were very proud of him because they sent him to a Muslim school, and he was going to learn to be an imam, whatever. And so pretty bright fellow and all, and he got into the school, and he started asking questions. He said, you know, well, what does this mean? You know, what does that mean? And he said, well, only Allah knows. And he's like, well, if Allah knows, what good is this going to do for me and other people? You know, somebody who actually thinks for himself, you know, praise God. And so it's all right to ask questions. So anyways, he was in a taxi, and there was a Baptist in that taxi. And this guy came to know the Lord. And he's planted hundreds or thousands of churches in Bangladesh, I believe. Yeah. And he comes over to Buffalo. He walks into the mosque. And he befriends people, pulls them out. They go over to the coffee shop. He gets them saved. And he says that, Brian was saying that Buffalo is one of these areas where there's kind of a Muslim, you know, cell groups and stuff where they're kind of breeding, maybe potential terrorist, okay? So he comes back over, and he pulls these people out, you know, and begins to get them saved and so forth. He asked one time, asked Iman, if can I have a word? He says, yeah, sure. And he goes up, and in the Quran, it talks about Jesus. So he was sharing those scriptures about Jesus, you know, and eventually afterwards, you know, people gravitate to him, and he takes them out to the coffee shop and starts talking to them about the Lord, and they come to know him. Amen. And so it's a pretty interesting story, and I'm not sure why I said that. But working salvation, okay, in the midst of the earth. So God's using people, you know, like that, and he wants to use each and every one of us. Amen. We're all here. We're all witnesses. We're all ambassadors of reconciliation. I don't think there's anyone that isn't. Amen. Hallelujah. We're to work with our King, being witnesses and ambassadors in this earth. Hallelujah. Psalms 98:6 says this, with trumpets and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. The King. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're to use our skills. You know how to play an instrument? Use that skill for the glory of God. Amen. Use those skills to bless our King. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Hallelujah. Think about it. Should we be less enthusiastic towards God than we are, watching a football game or as we celebrate somebody's accomplishment or we give honor to an earthly leader? We should be more enthusiastic about God than those leaders. Amen? So shout joyfully before the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Psalms 149:2 says, let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their God. Glory to God. We're to be joyful in God. Hallelujah. I believe if you're not feeling joyful, just start shouting joyfully to the Lord. I'll bet he'll change that inner circumstance, your feelings and the way you're thinking, and you'll experience God's joy. Amen. I mean, after all, everything comes from God, you know, in the first place. So when we do what God tells us to do, I believe God blesses us for that obedience. Amen. You want joy? Shout for it. Hallelujah. Shout to God joyfully. Psalms 145:1 says, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Hallelujah. I will extol you, my God, my O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. To bless his name is to kneel before him or to thank him, to celebrate his perfections. And God is perfect. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to bless his name. Hallelujah. To acknowledge him as God and King, which are his names as well. He is God. He is King. And we need to bless his name. Proverbs 22:11 says, he who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the King will be his friend. Amen. He loves when we're honest, when we're full of integrity. He loves purity of heart. Amen. And that we find favor with God when we're that way. Amen. We reflect who he is. The Holy Spirit isn't called holy for no reason at all. Amen. He's holy. He's pure. Proverbs 24:21 says, my son, fear the Lord the King. Do not associate with those given to change. Amen. So we're hearing the voice of God here in these scriptures. He's telling us what we ought to be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. And he says to fear the Lord and the King. He says, do not associate with those given to change. Keeping right company is an important thing. Amen. Now, I'm not saying here that we should totally avoid anyone and everyone. We're not going to get people saved if we avoid them. Amen. The word says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. Let's read what that says here. 14 through 16 says this. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God said. Amen. We don't altogether not associate with unbelievers, but we don't partake in their ways. Amen. We don't compromise our faith, our walk with God. Hallelujah. He wants us to have a pure heart. We don't get involved with sin. But there's ample opportunities around us to participate in things that we shouldn't. And so we have to be careful about that. Jesus even prayed that we would be separate from the evil one and from the world. In John 17, verse 15 and 16, it says this, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. He's praying to the Father. He says here, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Amen? We're not like the world. We're to be like Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Do not associate with those given to change, is what the word says. That's the voice of our King telling us what we ought to do and what we shouldn't do. Proverbs 25:6 says, do not exalt yourself in the presence of a king, and do not stand in the place of the great. Our King loves humility. Amen? He detests pride. We're not to be proud, proudful people, but people who are humble all the time. We don't look down our noses at people. And we shouldn't even have to, you know, look up our noses at people. We give people honor, respect, yes. But, you know, just realize that people that are above us in positions of authority and so forth, they're human beings too. And they need to be loved just like we do and respected and not looked at as, you know, someone that's more precious to God than we are. Amen? Amen. That's looking at it, things the wrong way as well. Proverbs 16:13 says, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. Amen. Oh my, so much can be said about this. Righteous lips are the delight of kings. What we say is absolutely important. Amen. We know the word says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen. God delights in righteous lips or righteous words. We need to watch what comes out of our mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. Our King delights when we hear his voice, when we listen to what he says for us to do. John 10, 1 through 5 says this, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." Amen. And then John 10, 16, same chapter, it says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd." What does it mean to hear his voice? Hear. It means there's various definitions, various ways in which that can be interpreted. We can hear in the sense of hearing, like hearing with the ear. But there's also another sense of hearing here, definition. And that is to follow on to do the will of a person. Amen? That's hearing God as well. Following on to do his will. And we see here where God wanted that to occur in Peter's life. It says here in John 21, 19, he spoke to Peter these words. "This he spoke," Jesus spoke, "signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him," he said to Peter, "follow me." Follow me. Hear me. Okay? Do my will. John 21, 22 says, Jesus said to him, "And if I will that he," talking about John, "remain till I come, what is that?" What is that to you? You follow me. Amen? So we need to take care of our own lives. Amen? Don't be concerned. If somebody else is not following the Lord, we can pray for them. We encourage them, help them to follow on and serve the Lord. But if they're not, you know, let's go on with or without people. Amen? I don't like to see anybody left behind, but I'm not going to allow other people not following God to discourage me from following God. We need to follow the Lord. Amen? Follow, what's that mean? To be of the same with, to accompany, to follow. We need to accompany God. Amen. Family, I believe God has many good plans for our lives. Amen. Here in 2018, many good plans for us. Hallelujah. And we just have to listen to what he says. Are we willing to listen to the King's voice and his commands, reading his word, listening to the Holy Spirit? Amen. Are we willing to listen to the King's voice? And two, after hearing from the King, are we willing to do what he has asked us to do? Those are the two things. A very simple message. Listening to his voice and doing what he asks us to do. Amen. What does James 1:22 says? "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Amen. We need to hear and we do. That changes a life dramatically. It's such a simple thing. Amen. That's the neat thing about Christianity is God makes it so simple. Just know what his will is, hear him, follow on to do his will, and success will follow. It's not complicated. Amen. Hallelujah. We belong to the kingdom of God, and Jesus is the king of that kingdom. And we need to honor him. I've just went over the characteristics of God that just show how precious, how valuable he is, and why we need to honor him, and why we need to listen to him. Amen. And show respect. Show respect to him by hearing his voice and following on to do his will. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that this year can't have trials and situations that we find ourselves in that can be challenging. I don't know. I don't know what this year holds. But one thing I do know is this, that if we allow Jesus to be the king of our lives, which he should be. He'll lead us through it and overcome it and cause us to do, you know, great exploits in his name. Amen. And that's what I'm interested in. Amen. Following on to do his voice. Because I do know this, that he has promised, he says, those who have entered his kingdom will experience righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen. Amen. We sang about that today. Hallelujah. So family, let's listen to the word. Let's read the word. Let's be diligent in doing that. Let's obey the voice of our King Jesus this year. And of course, beyond that as well. Amen. Father God, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for your voice. I want to thank you for speaking to each and every one of us, Father, as we go today and each and every day. I thank you that you don't withhold your will and your guidance from us. And you lead us in straight paths and good paths, in righteous paths. We thank you, Father, for helping us to be a blessing to your kingdom, to build your kingdom, and to do your will and to please you, to do all that you had asked us to do. Forgive us for any sins, iniquities, transgressions against you, Father, and put those under the blood, we pray. And we thank you, Lord, that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank you. We thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in our lives this coming year. We thank you for being the King of Kings, the best King that anyone could ever serve and have over them. We love you and appreciate you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.